Hello, greetings from Pontier Baptist Church. And this evening's reading is taken from 1 Chronicles chapter 13, verses 1 to 14. So that's 1 Chronicles 13, verses 1 to 14. And it's bringing back the ark. David conferred with each of his officers, the commanders of thousands and commanders of hundreds. He then said to the whole assembly of Israel, "If it seems good to you, and if it's the will of the Lord our God, let us send word far and wide to the rest of our people throughout the territories of Israel, and also to the priests and Levites who are with them in their towns and pasture lands, to come and join us. Let us bring the ark of our God back to us, for we did not inquire of it during the reign of Saul." The whole assembly agreed to do this because it seemed right to all the people. So David assembled all Israel from the Shihor River in Egypt to Lebo Hamath to bring the ark of God from Kiriath Jearim. David and all Israel went to Baala of Judah, in brackets Kiriath Jearim, to bring up from there the ark of God the Lord, who is enthroned between the cherubim, the ark that is called by the name. They moved the ark of God from Abinadab's house on a new cart, with Uzzah and Ahio guiding it. David and all the Israelites were celebrating with all their might before God, with songs and with harps, lyres, timbrels, cymbals, and trumpets. When they came to the threshing floor of Kidon, Uzzah reached out his hand to steady the ark because the oxen stumbled. And the Lord's anger burnt against Uzzah, and he struck him down because he'd put his hand on the ark. So he died there before God. Then David was angry because the Lord's wrath had broken out against Uzzah. And to this day, that place is called Perez Uzzah. David was afraid of God that day and asked, "How can I ever bring the ark of God to me?" He didn't take the ark to be with him in the city of David. Instead, he took it to the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite. The ark of God remained with the family of Obed-Edom in his house for 3 months, and the Lord blessed his household and everything he had. Thanks be to God for this reading.
Thank you. Thank you, Cheryl. Let's come to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, we would ask right now that you would speak to us. Dear Lord, we've asked for your Spirit to be amongst us. But dear Lord, we need something more. We need sustenance. We need our daily bread. We need that Spirit which would enliven and enable your word to come alive to us, dear Lord, so that we would receive a revelation. Dear Lord, we welcome your Spirit, the author of your word, here tonight, and ask that you would speak to us, that you would make it clear, and that we would be changed. We ask these things in Christ Jesus' name, and God's people said, Amen. Well, thank you for inviting me. No, it's not going to be the same sermon as this morning, so you're okay there. I know it's the same Bible reading. It is about, though, God's blessings and what he's doing in our lives. As God's children, we can get so mixed up, can't we? We can be so taught and wound up, it's difficult for God on times to get through. And because of that, we miss our blessings, our opportunities. David was so self-interested in himself and his blessing, so concerned about his own personal life, that it took someone else's life to turn him around. And this seems to happen in our lives, doesn't it? It takes usually somebody else's sacrifice, somebody else's intervention, before perhaps something changes in our lives that gives us a larger perspective on the word and the world. we have discovered this morning that God was willing to bless Obed-Edom, the servant of Red, as he's known, even though Obed-Edom in our eyes, and probably to the Israelite nation, perhaps did nothing to deserve or to be blessed in that way. In fact, the very reverse. The reason for this blessing, however, is that when wherever God is, blessings abound. And if I were to ask you tonight, do you feel like you're blessed? Thank you. Some people are blessed. I know on occasions I don't feel I'm blessed. You know, sometimes I feel I struggle. And I look at other folk and find and look at them that perhaps that they're not blessed at all. But it's all about a relationship with God and what we're really after in our walk. And are we here to be a blessing for others so we would receive blessing? Or are we just all about ourselves? Because one of the things is this, if I was to give Cheryl this Bible to put it in her hands, especially if it were, her hands are outreached, and then I was to give her something heavier still, very soon you wouldn't be able to take anything else off me. But if you were to give the Bible to Dawn, I could then give her something else. I mean, when Christ came, he taught us about the fact that we are to be people who make disciples. I wonder if you're into that process about making disciples, other people about growing. One of the things I've noticed in the church, we always seem to need permission. Perhaps that's why I get into trouble, because I tend to do things without permission. But our God has said all authority was given to him. And now he passes it on to you. So all authority is yours. If you believe in him, you have that relationship with him, and that you understand his word. Do you have that permission in your life? Do you have that growth in your life? We need, as like Obed-Edom, the fact that he was blessed. For our Creator God is a God who means that wherever he is, life around him grows and blossoms. Blessings are in great abundance. But how near are you to him? I think what we as God's people have to do is to try to discover a desire inside of us so that God would dwell amongst us, so that he would be proud of us. Do you think here tonight that God is proud of you? I know on many time and occasion, I'm going to be honest tonight, that sometimes I think God's a bit, what's going on here? What's going on here? Not necessarily that God is disappointed in me, not God, because he knows my life already. But the fact that it's saying, why are you doing those things? You know, they won't lead you to anything. They're not of worth. I'm of worth. And I have to be turned around. Is he proud of you as individuals, as a fellowship of a church? I know that we said in the car on the way as we were praying coming down. I don't close my eyes when I'm driving, so we're okay. In fact, how blessed we are when we come here. How much we enjoy your presence. How blessed perhaps they would be if only they would take the courage to come over the door. Let's see if we can help each other in this. This is what it says in 1 Corinthians 2, verses 6 to 13. 1 Corinthians 2, verses 6 to 13. It's always wonderful to hear the rustle of paper in God's church, but of course, as technology starts to come into the church, it's normally the thud, thud, thud of fingers will probably be the next stage. 1 Corinthians 2, verses 6 to 13. We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or of rulers of this age, who are coming to nothing. No, we speak of God's secret wisdom, a wisdom that has been hidden and that God has destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would have not crucified the Lord of glory. However, as it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. That's the promise to you. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. Do you love the Lord Jesus Christ tonight? But God has revealed it to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the man's spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. We have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. That is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words. That is who and what we are as God's people. Are you mature? You know, maturity takes time. You can test your level of maturity quite easily. I wonder when it was the last time you took offense at someone within this church, or perhaps at home in your family, because of something they said or something they've done, and how long then it took for you to get over it. I know many people that perhaps have come into a church environment. I don't know what goes on here, but I know the churches that I've attended, that some people have come in and there's been a row and they've left and they've never gone to any church ever again. They never meet with God's people, God's family, and it means they would never meet you, which is such a shame, because you're such a wonderful family and fellowship. If what's happened to me in my past, I walked away, I would have never met Cheryl. And the blessings that now we receive, especially when we work with young people. But how easily perhaps we can get offended. If you have offense in your life, then it means that you're not mature. You need teaching on offense and how to overcome it, for you can. For you see, Christ came to put everything into perspective for you. To say, well, you know, most of that is nonsense. Nonsense. Most of the arguments that I've experienced in church, not that I get involved with it, because I never do, is just like the colours of the wall, or what carpet we should have, and what. And people get so upset over this, yet there are souls to be won, souls to be saved. And if we're going to go to war, that's what we need to go to war over. If you have offence in your life, then you're not mature. You need teaching to overcome it. But beloved, tonight, this is not to condemn you, but rather to show you there's a different way perhaps of thinking, of feeling. Not for you to get offended, for you see, offense brings pain, suffering, depression, separation, and heartache. All the things the devil loves, but our God hates, for he wishes so much difference in your life. All these words that I've just used regarding offense. You see, our God wants a church to avoid these things. For we speak not of words taught by human wisdom, but words taught by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words. You see, the devil wants us out of the picture. And if he can get us out of the picture, he will. And the easiest way to do that, in most cases, of offense, because it means that you are an awesome person. If he can attack you and get at you straight away and get you out of the picture, he knows there's one less to upset his plans. Secondly, do not feel that you cannot make the grade. And all of this, and perhaps all that we think and talk about and discuss, you'll always feel that you're never good enough. Well, let me put an ease on you right away. Let me take away these burdens from you. Of course you'll never be good enough. Of course you'll never make it. That's why Christ came, for you. You see, only Christ is perfect. Christ came for you, so that you might be in the world and in heaven and within the kingdom. Christ takes what is impossible and makes it possible. And he sent his Spirit to empower you so that you might be overcomers. You see, the Spirit passes on and communicates his thoughts to you, his wisdom. This is why this reading comes from Paul in Corinthians, that this is what we speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit. We know what we hear in the words if they've upset you, but walk away. Just walk away. But we as God's people, because we're a family, and we're a family entwined in eternity with God, we're there to stick in with it. For souls need to be won. Don't get bogged down with yourselves trying to fathom out the workings of God, but rather allow God give you the wisdom that you need as a person, as a church, and as a fellowship. You see, God withholds what he desires and reveals what he needs so that he can empower you and make you a great people. We can see many of these sort of revelations that God will place amongst his people in the Bible. It's littered with it. One example is that Peter with Jesus. Jesus asked Peter, "Who do you say that I am?" What is Peter's reply? "The Son of the living God." And Jesus' response is, "Blessed are you, Simon, for it was not flesh that revealed this, but the Spirit of the living God." And if you're involved in Bible study or other types of study within God's Word, or part of a worship time, or you share prayer together, that's what Christ is saying to you. "Well done, you've taken my word and you've revealed it to people. Well done. For the Spirit, and you were allowed yourself to articulate that." That's a powerful and awesome thing to be within this world, to bring the wisdom of God, for you are the chosen of God. The world would like to tell you that you're not, but that you are. But I wonder how much of that you desire. Here's a prayer for you, perhaps, that you would like to say amongst yourselves on occasion. I'll leave it here with you if you desire. Lord, I don't know about you, but I say this to myself. Lord, we need your hope. We need your power. We need your blessing even more than Obed-Edom and David. We need your promise, Lord. Tarry amongst us, be with us, no longer pass us by, but be present. Lord, let your name be brought, never let your name be brought into disrepute because of us. Change us, allow us to bring glory and honor to you. Lord, we need your touch. Let your tabernacle spend time amongst us here. Our church, I wonder if you desire these things, that God would stay amongst you. Do you want him here? That you would be a temple worthy of him? That your hearts are prepared? That your hearts contain the best that you have? And if that means your heart, perhaps you may feel, isn't up to scratch, but it's what you can give at this time. You know, the Lord would relish that more than any gold and silver that we could offer. If you could offer your heart and he could dwell within it, what he could do with a people such as that. It says in Philippians 3 verse 13, "Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies in front." This Bible passage is one of the fundamental scripture verses that we as God people should know. The text says, "Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet." I wonder if you have laid hold of it. I don't know about you, but I'm not satisfied with my Christian walk. I nag and yearn God for more. I ask him for more of the Spirit, more of Christ, more of God the Father, more of the Word, more of the truth, more ministry, more church, more purpose, and more souls won for Christ. I refuse to be content, and I desire that God's kingdom to be built upon this earth. I don't know if you've been in church all your life. I haven't. Really, I started when I was 36. I lost my job. I may have told you this before. And I know the difference between being outside of God and in God. And seeing that difference And looking at my life, I see how terrifying life is without God, without Him. And I desire with all my heart that so many others would know. I think especially of young teenagers, young people. I know you've got a heart for people such as these, that they would come and know Christ. They would come and know. And if that means something has to change in me, that they may come. One of the most difficult things I find, though perhaps Cheryl would disagree with you, is I'm very nervous around children and young people. They terrify me, absolutely. Even though I have, I've had them of my own. I'm scared to death of them. But if God asks me to do those things, then I'm prepared to do those things. What is He asking you? And are you prepared to be enabled? To be enabled. Please do not feel condemned or convicted by these words. I'm trying really to give you encouragement that you are able to do more, that you would yearn for more, that you might desire to do greater things, because you see this world so desperately needs you. So desperately need you that you would reach greater heights for a God who loves you and who smiles upon you and says, well done. He goes on to say in this Bible reading from Philippians, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind. I wonder if you understand this. You know, we perhaps spend year after year, I asked you this morning what this last year has brought you. But do you spend all your time examining what's gone in the past, picking at it? You know, we can spend a lifetime performing what-if scenarios, which then build anger and frustration in our lives, pain and hurting and shame, even designing new rules and regulations so that we would live a different life so those things would not happen to us again. One of the things that I've learned in ministry, and it's extremely painful, is that people can reject you, people can turn away from you, people can walk with you for a bit, and then people can leave you for what you think is probably no reason whatsoever. And that hurts. It hurts. Because when you come together with someone, it's like a marriage or a very close relationship, and all of a sudden when somebody is torn away from you for whatever reason, for even like offense, it hurts. It hurts. And that builds up within us defense mechanism. What do you think about our walk with Christ and the number of times that perhaps we have done that to Him or turned our backs towards Him, but He comes back again and again and again. And He asks that of us. Paul writes, forget the past, let it go, let it pass. You can do nothing about it, apart from how it will affect you now and into the future. You see, God will give you a great gift, and it's available to you. It says, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind. If you forget what lies behind, you can reach for the future. You can go forward. It means that your now and your future will not be contaminated. You have to forget what's gone in the past. If you cannot, then allow God to forget for you so that you might be free. This is why Jesus gave us that freedom. It doesn't mean that our minds are wiped. What Jesus does is put everything into context. We learn, we develop, we grow. And we understand then the consequences of why these things happen. And then Christ can give you even greater blessings. For then you can give your testimony to others and say, yes, I've been through that. I understand the pain that you are suffering. But there is an alternative. Why not experience Christ's freedom tonight? Let the past go. Be free from it. Let Christ put it into context for you so that you might reach out for what is to come. For with Christ, everything pales into comparison, and the past can no longer hang over you. so that you're no longer free. You're no longer shackled to it, but rather those chains have been broken and you are able to run forward as new creations, so that you can think and behave differently, so God may be honored and glorified amongst you. I think I've shared with you in the past of certain things that have happened to me, but God is willing to give you, as he's given me, a blank sheet which can be filled with the good things of him so that you might know that you are blessed. David, at that time that he was trying to move the ark, became fearful of God. He was hurt because Uzzah was killed. And because of this, David was disobedient. He did not listen to God and the instructions that he should have known. If he hadn't ignored them, then somebody wouldn't have died. Once he realized his mistake and he went back to God's word and understood that only the Levites could really carry the ark. Once he understood that, the ark was then lifted and taken into the city of David with even greater jubilation. Tonight, loved ones of God, are you keeping God away because of the past? Are you keeping the blessings away because you failed to read the instruction book that he has given us, which is God's word? Have you past hurts in your life that you're maintaining because they're embedded in memories and you think there's no escape from them? So you're building walls of protection so you no longer have to suffer them. God can come in and place them into context, and that pain can be soothed away. Why not this night allow God to have his way in you, to change you, to allow you to be a Levite, to carry the ark in your heart, so that people would know the blessings of God because you are a new creation. You are God's blessing in this world, so that you would be a people to be reckoned with, and then God's blessing would be known among his people. Let us pray. Dear Lord, I pray for all those who are gathered here this evening that they would know a new blessing of you in their lives. Perhaps they need permission to do things. Lord, give them that permission. You have said, all authority is mine and I pass it on to my children. Dear Lord, they have permission. Perhaps there's somebody here tonight who's hanging on to memories that's stealing their joy and your glory in their lives. Dear Lord, give them the courage tonight that they would pass it on to you, and you would place it into context, and you would fade it, and they would know that you are God, and nothing's impossible for you. Perhaps there's someone holding on to anger and resentment because of what has happened in their past. Dear Lord, allow them to give you that this evening. So rather they would use words of spiritual wisdom rather than the words of the world, which mean nothing and only destroy. Perhaps there's someone here tonight who needs the power of God. That's available to you. Allow him in. And allow that power to enrich your life, to change your life, to give you the power that you need to overcome that which you feel perhaps overwhelmed by. And all the evil and all the pain and all the suffering and all the hurt that surrounds your life would be pushed away because God has placed it into context and has given you the power. So if you have to, you can laugh at it. If you need to, you would use the word of God in the middle of it. And if you have to, you would stand and it could not assail you because God is with you. Bless your people here tonight, I would ask, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.